away, Jose.
The following footage proves beyond any doubt that the tanks intentionally set the house on fire. It proves that the Branch Davidians were murdered. You can see that this tank has a gas jet on the front that shoots fire. You can also see the fire quite plainly. The tank goes into the house twice, and each time as it backs out, the fire at the gas jets is plainly visible.
We must all do more to recognize and look for the early warning signals that deeply troubled young people send.
Hey guys, Jose Galison. You're watching No Way Jose. You can find us on No Way Jose YouTube channel, all the major audio podcatchers, and Rumble as well. Today my guest is Andrew Nadeau. We're going to kind of just shoot the shit. I normally don't do like the interview type style stuff as much these days, usually way more topic driven. But, you know, I had an opening, and me and him were talking on the phone, and we got into conversation, and I was just like, oh, geez, this is actually a conversation I'd like to have later, and I was like, you know what, why not make it content? So I figured we'd bring it on, talk, he had a story he had to get into, and we were talking on the phone, and it was like literally right before dinner, so I was like, oh, you know what, there's a lot here, let's bring this on the pod. And so that's what we're doing now. I do want to let you guys know how this normally works. My format swapped up a little bit now that you guys, I'm sure you've probably noticed by now, I added the new live stream show. I'm still giving you patrons a benefit with that. I'm giving you guys like early, essentially first dibs when it comes to the call-in portion of the show. And then also I give you guys the little stuff for the chat world. And also, honestly, I know a lot of you guys by name too. So like when I see in the chat, I'm usually pretty good about trying to give you guys preference, but I also give you guys like a little code for some reason that I can't notice. That way I can see in the chat it's you and go, oh geez, I'm going to bring his up. Cause a big part of this new show is like basically half the show's audience engagement. I'd kind of bring on a guest, shoot the bull, or not guest, just me and Austin, and then kind of go into engaging with you guys. So if that sounds like something you like, go check that out. That show's called Already Dead. But for the other shows, like probably about one show a week or so now, I'll be still doing the normal format, which is I live stream to my patrons. So you guys get the early get about roughly a week or two. It's actually like two right now, I think. My schedule's all thrown off. So I have like 2 weeks of paywall content right now for you guys. At most times, but usually it's roughly about a week. But yeah, well, you get the early stuff. It's patreon.com/NoWayJose2020. It's like $2, the lowest level. That's how you get the early content. If you want to, if not, whatever, wait for it to come out. That's on you. The highest level is my sponsors. I read them off every episode. I've Toad, my co-host on Tower Gang. Follow him on Twitter at Tower Gang Toad. I have at Abrogate D's and Kevin B. Clark, a full-time guitarist and private music teacher in the New York area. Then at Zoverack. Then at _infinite_zeal. Then Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy podcast. You can follow him at Biblical Anarchy. Then Tim Tuttle at Jolly on Klebold. He makes a lot of my edits on here. And then at SneakySock420, singer of the band Bender, which is a metalcore band. So if you're a metalcore fan like I am, you'll probably like that. Definitely go check that out. Otherwise, like I said, just wait for this stuff to come out. That's fine by me. But I do try to provide you guys benefits, and I do appreciate you guys supporting me and helping me do what I do. And also with that, I don't know when this will drop, whether this still falls under the month giveaway, but I do have it for the $5 and higher level for Fox and Sons. You get the $5 level and higher depending on when this falls. I don't know. I guess maybe my patrons obviously will have the jump on it. If you're $5 or higher patron level, you're in for the coffee giveaway. And Abrogate D's, I don't think you've hit me up yet. I got to get you for last month's. So I'll either follow up with you, or you follow up with me, one or the other, but we'll get you the coffee. And for the next random giveaway, you know, just pop in. That's foxandsons.com. Use Jose at checkout for 15% off. Good stuff. And with that, let's get our host or guest in here and get to it. What's up, my friend? How you doing?
What's up, man? No way, Jose. Good to see you.
It's good to see you too. Yeah, we were just talking. I mean, obviously, I know everyone knows Nadeau Razors, or at least a lot of my audience does. To be quite frank, we were talking sponsorship stuff, but we did. We were talking on the phone, and you seem to have a pretty good story, I guess, behind, I guess, almost the culmination of your business, and you had a lot to say about the COVID regime, and I just felt like it was a good time to bring it up because I've just noticed, and fairly so, COVID slipped to the back, kind of the backdrop. A lot of people have forgotten in a lot of ways, or just kind of like, I mean, I don't know if I'd say take their eye off their ball because there are a lot of other important things going on, but COVID fucked up a lot of shit. And I just feel like it's kind of slipped away. Like COVID got forgotten by Ukraine and then got further forgotten by Gaza. And here we are now. But I mean, I know myself, I've definitely, you know, in my life, you know, it's caused a huge impact on it and still is in the effects we've seen in the economy and other stuff. But either way, I know that's a big part of your story, but I guess just to start from, I guess if you want to let my audience know who you are, you know, what you're about, and I guess I'm not just going to assume everyone knows who you are, because I guess my Tower Gang audience would, because you've been a sponsor at Tower Gang for a while now. So that's a badge of honor on you. Shows you're down with based comedy. You're not part of the cancel culture crowd, I guess, if we're speaking to the normies. But yeah, go ahead and tell my audience a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Andrew G. Nadeau. I was recently discharged from the United States Navy last July. I am the owner and operator of Nadeau Shave Co. And right now I'm living with my family back in my home of record on Long Island, New York, and working as a civilian in a completely different field than I was in the military. I was a U.S. Navy corpsman for 13 years, almost 14, but you know, my career was cut short due to some recent events.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I guess where to start from that, I guess just, you said you were a corpsman. You said 14 years. Were you an officer for some reason? I thought I remember in our conversation you said you were an officer.
No, there's different tiers to corpsmen, right? So in the Army, they're called, in the Air Force, they're called medics. But in the Marine Corps, which they use Navy corpsmen as their medical element, we're called corpsmen. And I had an advanced scope of practice, so I had to go to some special schools. It's called independent duty corpsmen. So I had to go to school at the Surface Warfare Medical Institute in San Diego. It's essentially like PA school minus the pediatrics. And I saw patients clinically. I had my notes signed off quarterly by a doctor. I could prescribe, diagnose, order, all the good things that a mid-level clinical provider can do.
Wait, and, so were you a warrant officer, or am I just misunderstanding lingo here?
No, there's always been talk about making IDCs warrant officers. Okay. Comes with a fat bonus, comes with extra rank. It's a good gig, especially, you know, if you are a corpsman, it's a good route to go. What it did do is give me tons of college credits, and I wound up securing my degree down the road from my most recent duty station in Annapolis. I got, I went to school in DC, the belly of the beast, GW. And, I walked out of there unscathed. Cause when I was, to be frank with your audience, to be blunt, I was pretty hardcore against the COVID, policies, the vaccine mandate, even the mask mandate. It was a pretty lonely battle during the height of it all.
I think I got out active 2021, something like that. I don't know. But either way, yes, I definitely was experiencing a lot of that. I was in a little bit of a different field than you. It sounds like you were in a medical type thing. Yeah. I mean, my audience is aware I was an aircraft mechanic. very different world. It's very much a bunch of grease monkeys, and like, yeah, they made us wear masks, but it'd be like one of those things that like, yeah, but like in the office, but like no one really cares. But like, I don't know if you see anybody with a rooftop or brass, rooftop, you know, just, I don't know. With the ranks in the Air Force, like if you're a senior NCO, you have what's called the rooftop, the top part of your insignia. And so that's, we'll call them rooftops, and then brass, you know, officers. So like, so it's kind of just this rule of thumb. If you see them, like, we're kind of like, oh, shoot, like, we're gonna put, at least put it over your lip or something, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah. Kind of the same thing with dipping. Like, cause like when it, like in dipping in the military, that's in the, or at least mechanics, cause it's a very common tobacco use in the military, especially with mechanics. And it was this like implicit thing that like, no one gave a shit, but like if you see a commander or some sort of somebody more than like a baby butter bar or higher, you know, or a rooftop, like a senior NCO, you know, I don't know, hide it, you know, don't spit directly in front of them, like, you know, try, don't be obvious about it. And for the most part, no one cared. That's kind of how it, the vibe was. But at the end of the day, there still was like certain things you just had to do. You know, some of the stupid rules they imply, they did really start affecting like what time you go to work and stuff. It was just dumb shit. And I'm sure you dealt a lot of weird stuff like that too. But it definitely, it sounded like from our talk, the culture over there in your neck of the woods was much more, I mean, this is what we call them in our realm, like nerds or noners or like the, I don't know, the people that are like more like medical or personnel, like those type of people are going to be more military-y, like the rules, you know, customs, you know, that type of stuff. So they're going to be the ones that are going to be more following these type of rules. Am I characterizing that correct in what you were experiencing during that period of time?
Yeah, I spent most of my career in what they call an operational role, right? So in the Navy, you have shore duty and sea duty. And I was on shore duty most of the time, right? So my last command, however, was the sea duty command, and it was the United States Naval Academy, and I was a mid-level provider there. I was also the LPO. I was the manager of a directorate that was inside of the actual academy, and that's where they have their clinic. It's called BMU, Brigade Medical Unit. And I arrived there in late 2020, and it was just the height of COVID, and it was all sorts of craziness. And for your audience listening, I was a rooftop. I was an E6, and I was getting ready to put on chief. And so when COVID hit, I was at my previous duty command in Port Hueneme with the
real quick. Not to cut you off, I was an E6 too when I got out. But they didn't make that. That's not rooftops in the Air Force, because it's not.
Gotcha.
A senior NCO starts at E7. I don't know. I mean, a lot of different. I forget the ranks in other ones, so I don't know if that was a senior NCO.
That's or fair.
Yours
that's
had
fair.
A rooftop on yours when you got to E6. But it is like kind of yeah. But anyways, it's gotcha. Yeah. But go on. Sorry.
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, in the Marine Corps, the staff sergeant in E6 is like essentially a senior NCO, and then yes. E7 and all the other branches is how they usually roll.
Yeah.
But so I'm in Port Hueneme, COVID hits, and just as like most medical personnel, seasoned medical personnel, operational personnel, they don't take, you know, these things too seriously. They know that people work themselves up in a frenzy and they overreact. And that's how I felt about COVID from the beginning, right? You know, I'm a big Ron Paul guy. I was listening to the Liberty Report a lot. And especially when COVID hit, and I was just kind of like already on to like the, you know, the way governments operate and, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste kind of thing. So I was like, oh, they're going to use this somehow, some way to like make some sort of new department and get some new money. And I wasn't really prepared for how crazy it was going to get. Mm-hmm. So, you know, lockdown happens and everybody's, you know, leaving work early or not coming in for like a few weeks, and then it goes a month, and we're like, all right, man, how long is this gonna go? And you know, everybody's like testing like crazy and everybody's getting sick but no one's dying, and we're like, oh, what the hell's happening here? So I cut new orders and I go to Annapolis, and I go there, and it's 4,500 midshipmen that's my patient population. And I go there and it's even crazier than my CB command, which is an operational command. And I mean, so I'm at like the crossroads between an elite military academy, clinical medicine, government clinical medicine, and just being in the military, right? And colleges, right? So I'm seeing all these things from all the different angles, from like separate institutional perspectives. And man, when I got there, I couldn't believe how Orwellian and how intense some of the policies were. I mean, you know, you've probably seen it and people probably believe it, but they were putting midshipmen who were testing positive in rooms alone for 14 days at a time, right? And then they were putting people, midshipmen who were contact traced to be in the vicinity of a COVID positive patient, in the rooms alone. And like, I know in my heart that all these tests are bogus to begin with, because the CDC was counting presumptive positives and, you know, the cycle threshold on the PCR itself was being spun up to 40 when, you know, everybody knew by month three of the pandemic that 36 was the max. And, you know, I know that essentially the tests are garbage, right? So we're creating the numbers, positive numbers, right? So I'm like, okay, what's the end game here? And then I start seeing all like the higher leadership, right? Like the captains and above, the 06 and above, coming down to us and just really preaching about the vaccine. And this is like 7-8 months before it was even a mandate, right? So it was mandated to us in April of 2021. Our drop dead date to get it was September 2021.
We got that too. I did start noticing before there were even any mandates, the senior NCOs started saying shit about it and like almost being like, oh, I got mine. And like, and I don't know if it's a culture thing, because it was weird for us, you know, coming from where I was at, you know, where I had like more of like a mechanic, like the culture of the individuals I was around was very much like, no, this is gay. Like, no, like what? So the fact that these guys who are senior NCOs, who are usually people who, because the way it works is these senior NCOs are used to be at one point people that were in our spot, that were airmen, sergeants, whatever, and working in these career fields. Typically, very rarely did we get a senior NCO from a completely, you know, non-related career field, like not like maintenance. So it's like these were people who had done similar jobs, and then they come in and now, so we're like, we don't know if this is a culture thing, if this is like the, or if someone said something, or someone at their higher up talks of like, hey, we need to be saying this, like, because those are things that happen. They have like, I think in the Air Force, they call them like the top three or something, where they have like things where they meet up and they give leadership advice and they talk to some of the top people and blah, 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 blah. And a lot of people get carried away and all that like top tier, like careermanship type stuff. So I always did wonder what's up with that, because it was very jarring for our career field for these people to be kind of like, oh, I got this and that, and then like, because there were a lot of like, I mean, it's not even like the normal guy was really that hip to all this stuff, but there were a lot of guys that are like would be a little bit and be like, well, that's stupid. Like, I remember at one point one of the guys was bragging or something. I said something to him about I think at the time, with the vaccine, like it would allow you to, the newest thing was at that time was that you could pass it on, but you wouldn't have any symptoms. So it was like, it was the idea of that you could pass COVID, and it's like, well, isn't that worse? Like, isn't like having symptoms, like, isn't that your body's sign of like, I should stay home or at least try to avoid my ickness from other people? Like, you know, whereas if you're just, oh, I got the vaccine and now I can share this. And like, he had openly admitted like, yeah, we were even talking about that. And then I don't remember if he pointed that out as like a positive. And I was like, wait, think that through. And like, it just didn't even just right through the head. Like you, wait, this is pretty simple. Like, and this was something they had admitted to. But anyways, my point being is it was weird seeing this information come down from the top. Sorry, I don't mean to throw off your
no,
thing.
No, man, because you're dealing with like, people. You're dealing with people with like A plus B equals C. And like generally that works for people, right? So they were told that we got this disease. It's lethal as fuck. Okay, it's going to kill all these people. And the only answer is a vaccine. And me seeing, I was put in the URI clinic. We call it in Dahlgren Hall at the United States Naval Academy. We set up this makeshift clinic. And I was seeing 40, 50 patients a day during the pandemic because people had to report if they were contact traced or they had any kind of symptom or anything really, right? So I'm seeing all these patients and I'm ordering all these labs for people, but everybody was just completely exhausted with the tempo of the pandemic tempo that they wanted a way out. They just couldn't wait for something that would end it all. And they were told that the vaccine would do that, right? I brought papers to my brigade medical officer on the effectiveness and the efficacy of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, even doxycycline, right? Monoclonal antibodies, right? Because I saw that there's a bunch of studies, there was a bunch of perspectives, rather, about this kind of vaccine for this kind of virus that were coming out. Because this vaccine wasn't tested on animals when they first launched it, when they first gave it out to the active duty members, right? So at the academy, we got the Moderna shot, right? That mRNA shot. And, you know, there is a there is the belief that different batches had different potencies and different what do you call them? Lots, right? Mm. Different lots were completely different formulations because it was, for all intents and purposes, a giant clinical trial. It was a giant clinical trial. So A plus B equals C to a lot of people. So like, all right, I get this vaccine. This shit is over. Okay. But the science doesn't work that way because pathogens are different and all vaccines don't work the same. It's just not how it works.
Real quick, I did want to back up that because we actually were talking before the show and I was telling you about how I breed cats. And part of that came out of the fact, like I have hairless cats, Sphinx, for those who aren't aware, me and my wife breed them. We have for a while. But my wife is in the veterinary field. Like she's a veterinary technician. And so when this stuff was kicking off, a lot of the research or information people base it off of was based off of coronaviruses, which are present in other animals, because coronavirus is one of these types of viruses that spreads amongst different species, although it's usually not zoonotic, and the fact that it usually doesn't cross from species to species, but especially particularly in cats, there are multiple ones. I know this really comes into play with one of the drugs that they were prescribing. And you might be able to tell me which one this is. I can't remember off the top of my head, but there was one drug they were prescribing quite a bit that come to find out after the fact had a higher fatality rate than it did for, and this is one of the, like the semi-official like narrative ones that like a friendly type thing. It essentially had a slightly higher fatality or probably quite a bit higher fatality rate than actually COVID did itself.
Probably remdesivir.
Remdesivir. That's what it is. And now where that came from is I believe it's I forget what it is in cats. There's a certain type of coronavirus that's like extremely deadly for cats. And it does actually have some, you know, shown to have to help with that in for that specific thing in cats. And so I think that's where the logic train probably came from of like, oh, well, we'll try this in humans since it's worked in coronaviruses and other animals. And now, but the problem is now this specific coronavirus in other animals actually, in this other animal actually is very deadly. And so the trade-off, a lot of people don't realize when it comes to different medicines, a lot of times it's about trade-offs. It's be like, okay, yeah, this might help you, but it's like it also has a 10% chance of causing this other thing or worsening your condition or whatever. So it's trade-offs. And so in this scenario, the fatality rate of the remdesivir being high, and also it's in a different species, so that changes things too. The trade-off's a little bit different when you're dealing with something that most of the time kills the patient, this specific type of coronavirus. I wish I could remember what it's called. It's very common, like it's one of those like very common cat killers is the coronavirus. And so I think that's what
we'll Leishmaniasis? Because maybe. I think it's a bacteria, but that's the only thing I could think of really with cats. I had to deal with them all the time you know, overseas, everybody had like a cat coming into their compound and we had to make sure it was clean.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too. I knew from the beginning, because my wife was in touch with this stuff and she actually would always look into the nearest, like the newest information and see like, cause this was a common thing we would have to deal with. Well, not common. It's not like we had this like a common issue in our cattery, but it was always something we were like aware of. Like if this happens, FIP, that's what it's called. That's what they call it. I forget what okay. FIP stands for. But we always were looking into this, like the science to see if there was new stuff to help with this, because it was one of those things that there weren't very many good treatments and it would just kill a cat. And it's like, obviously we don't want that, you know, like we'd prefer these animals to live if they have an issue, if we have clients that do have these issues. And so we looked into it and there pretty much aren't many successful, because something to do with how coronavirus works, aren't many successful vaccines. And so from the beginning, we're like, this isn't going to work. But obviously this is where it comes into play that, well, this isn't really necessarily a vaccine now, is it? This is something a little bit different, operating under a different, a completely different, almost completely different format as opposed to the old ways. But no, I thought that would be interesting things to bring up. I didn't mean to throw off your train of thought where you were going, but I just find it fascinating how these, we think when it comes to the science, TM, it's like these highfalutin ideas. And I know you have a medical background. I don't. I'm just relying off of stuff my wife, who doesn't, she has like a veterinary degree of some sort, but it's like an associate's or some shit. So it's like, we're just some schmucks that look up, you know, studies online and stuff and kind of, you know, throw this stuff together. And we have this idea that science TM is so, you know, high and holy and knows everything. It's like, well, a lot of times they're not operating off of the best, you know, information. And that just gets networked out and the badness, I guess, accelerates as it networks out amongst academia or whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? Like, my point being is just from the beginning, we were like, yeah, I don't think we're going to get a vaccine. And we kind of didn't. So,
well, you know, the study of biology and animals and veterinary medicine, I mean, you know, there's tons of vaccine scientists who that is their background. I don't know if you remember Dr. Michael Yeadon. Early on in the pandemic, he put out this petition to stop Pfizer from doing what they're doing. I think he worked for Pfizer years ago. He was like a VP or on the board or something, but he came out with this like huge petition of reasons why you shouldn't do that. But you're absolutely right. Tons of perspectives I was reading, like DOI medical studies, right? That I wasn't pulling off of Telegram. I was pulling them off of the Himmelfarb Library from the George Washington University, right? Like they're saying that they try to create vaccines for SARS-CoV-1, which is like 77% identical. And it just created ADE, they call it, antibody-dependent enhancement, right? It essentially created autoimmune diseases in these animals. So when they were reintroduced to the virus in the wild, they died. A bunch of macaques, a bunch of cats, whatever they were testing. So I'm like looking at this and like, and I'm like reading the news, and I'm trying to pull studies, animal studies, and they were just non-existent. And they're ready to give this to our literal last line of defense in this country. They're ready to give it to, and they did. And it is my position that the government, the Department of Defense, is complicit in poisoning all of its members. Mm-hmm. You know, especially with the DMED data that came out. I don't know if you're familiar with DMED.
I probably have had some briefing before where it sounds like some military database thingamajig that I probably got a briefing on one time 8 years ago or some shit.
VAERS, you know, VAERS, right?
Yeah.
The Vaccine Injury Reporting System. I don't forget the acronym, right? I should remember it. But DMED is even better because it is literally everybody in the military and their specific file. And you could trace everything. Right, it's the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, I believe. And soon as they started giving these initial shots that came out of the factories, wherever the hell they came from, I mean, everything was skyrocketing. Heart attack, you know, myocarditis, autoimmune disorders, fucking HIV, right? And then there's been evidence that, you know, finally when like the government admitted that there's very high likely there's a very high possibility that the disease was engineered, that COVID-2 was engineered. People are saying that it's built off the HIV backbone. It's like, okay, well, that's kind of all making sense and pulling together. And then a few days later, after all this information comes out and a whistleblower brings it to the public, you know, PolitiFact, you know, comes in, they chime in with their fact checkers and they say, oh, it was an error and the DMED went offline. And that's all we got. It was just a, it was an error. And I don't buy it because I know what I saw. And what I saw was a bunch of healthy people who tested positive for this disease, who had a natural immunity, right? Barely got sick. I'm telling you, it was probably the flu in my eyes, because we would run respiratory panels with like 26 other diseases, and like half the time other diseases were popping. I mean, coronavirus has been around for a while. There's like 6 or 7 we used to consider part of like the collective static that is the common cold. Okay. And it's just background noise at this point. But anyway, my point being is they're all essentially have some immunity if these tests are legitimate, which they're not, because there's tons of false positives because they're spinning them. The way the PCR works is essentially you put the sample in this machine and it spins a certain amount of times and it exponentially grows this picture. It's not like a culture. It just grows this picture. And if the picture matches, then you got a positive. But if you spin it so many times, you can find anything you want. And that's what they were doing. They were spinning it so many times. There's a million false positives. CNN's, they got the death ticker up, right? They got the case levels up. They're scaring the shit out of people. They're really building the case for the vaccine at that point. I'm like, oh my God. All right. So everybody's going crazy and everybody's getting tired of it, but they're going with the motions because these kids, and I mean, I call them kids, but they're 18 to 22. They're in college or the United States Naval Academy, right? But I felt so terrible for them because they were secluded to their barracks rooms. They weren't allowed to leave for holidays. They were quarantined on base, masked in their own room. They had to wash their clothes in the sink at one point. They had to maintain 6 feet apart. They were, at one point, they weren't allowed outside of a building, and they were only allowed to exit the building for 2 hours a day to exercise. Alone.
You know, right? The crazy part of all that is too, is because I don't know, you said they're in the academy, so I don't know necessarily what their stage of training is, but me and you both went through a basic training of some sort, and I'm assuming you went through a whole bunch of different tech schools, and so we understand how it normally works in basic. It is kind of like that idea of like, do this, do that, do this, and it's just like unthinking, like, this is what I was told to do, do this. Like, that's basically what military training is. So it is weird in how this is such a parallel to that. But even that, me hearing that, it still sounds like a horror story, even with me having the background understanding of how the military typically works. And I guess in my head, I'm assuming these guys are probably in some sort of environment that's kind of almost like a tech school educational environment. Where
it's essentially like boot camp for 4 years to some extent.
Yeah, but it's like lesson. That's why I said tech school. Yeah. Tech school is where they usually like lessen up a little bit. And it's like there's still rules. You'll still get yelled at by your military training, like your instructors or whatever. But they're usually more relaxed, treat you more like people. It's almost like they're acclimating you into like kind of more of a real world type thing as opposed to like a basic training fucking gay ass bullshit they do there, you know? So that's kind of what I'm getting at. Yeah. And it's still a horror story.
As you progress through the years, that's they treat you more. You know, they treat you better as you progress through the college, right? If you're a freshman or a plebe, right, they treat you like dirt. And then by the time you're a senior, you know, you're essentially getting ready to commission as an officer. So they're trying to groom you properly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in my eyes, they were just torturing these kids. So they would just take the vaccine. They would just take the vaccine. So the vaccine rolls out and, I mean, the amount of coercion that I saw to get this vaccine is unparalleled. I want to bring some things up here. I had to jot them down because I can't even remember them all, right? So there wasn't many people who refused. And it's sad, but there was a few holdouts. Yeah. They were threatening them to drop them from school. And they'd have to pay back their tuition, which is north of $200,000. Kids were freaking out.
Yeah. Right? Like they're flushing down their career, their future, like money making, and losing all that money. Cause it's not like, it's one thing if you get kicked out of like basic training or tech school or something, it's like you don't have to pay back BMT. but you're literally in a college type military environment, and they're in a certain sense they're like, oh, we gave you a full ride sorta, and now we're revoking your scholarship or whatever. Now you got to pay it back. I'm surprised they were able to do that. I mean, I don't know the terms of that, but that's still nuts. But sorry, go on.
No, man, you're absolutely right. They threatened me with that too. They're like, you're going to have to pay back all your training, all your college, because I got tuition assistance when I was in, and I went to college part-time.
Yeah, and a lot of people do that, yeah.
My job, right, the NEC I held, the specific credential I had as a corpsman, came with a big fat bonus. They're like, you're going to have to pay that back, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, okay, I don't know. I spent it. This is terrible, right? So they threatened me with everything. I couldn't leave a 250-mile radius of my base being unvaccinated. Anyway, let's back to the midshipmen, because I feel terrible for them, because they were just completely misguided. And this is really a hit on the leadership of the entire military. But I'm speaking of what I saw in the Navy, and not one of them nutted up. Not one officer, not one chief that I saw fought this thing, right? And there's so many things to fault, whether we're talking about the EUA status of the vaccine, how it wasn't even legal to mandate this, from having their own junior sailors dropping right in front of them and them not acknowledging that it could be from this vaccine they got a few hours ago or a few days ago. I mean, so here's some of the things, man. They were told to wear masks at all times, even in their own rooms, if they could maintain 6 feet of separation. In March 2021, the vaccine rollout, midshipmen had severe reactions. Oh, man, let me tell you. I have nightmares about it to this day. It fucked me up. I was kind of nervous to come on and talk to you about it, because I'm like rehashing and reliving all this. And my experience was not a positive one. When I refused the vaccine in 2021, I didn't get out until July 2023. From that point, from 2021 to 2023, I was not allowed to work. I was fired from my job. I had like 70 or 80 people under me. I was seeing a high patient load. I was a very productive member of the Navy. And then all of a sudden, I was doing nothing, right? And at that point, when I realized the leadership wasn't going to do anything, I submitted a memorandum for the record to my commanding officer, and essentially told her that she's violating the law, all right, when it comes to the EUA status, and she's violating the Nuremberg Code for experimenting on her sailors. And that memorandum is rather lengthy, and it got me into some hot water. So from there, I told them that not only am I not going to get vaccinated, but I'm not going to bear false witness either anymore, and I'm not going to wear this mask anywhere. I wasn't wearing it at all, but the minute September 16th hit, the drop dead date for my command for the vaccine, they were like really honing in on me. I didn't get it. So they were making sure that all the COVID policies I was following, you know, aside from getting the vaccine. And I just told them no. And that threw a whole wrench in the mix. They had no idea what to do with me from there on, right? So what they did is they made me muster, all right? I don't know what you guys call it in the Air Force. I don't know what you guys call it in the Cheer Force, all right? But they made me, like, you know, muster with a senior enlisted 2 to 3 times a day, right? Like some sort of recruit. And, I was just waiting outside because they wouldn't let me enter the clinic because I refused to wear this mask. You know, it was a whole fiasco. So this goes on for like 2 years, and my wife and kids moved to New York, where I'm from, right? The Navy told me I was getting out. September, they were getting out. My wife was gone. Okay. And, you know, lo and behold, this thing drug out like you wouldn't believe. Maybe you would believe it because it's, you know, this is the present time. But so I'm sitting in my RV, okay, sitting in the woods, I felt very isolated. I was all alone. And it was probably, it gave me a lot of time to think, it gave me a lot of time to read, but it also kind of drove me a little crazy. I was like, you know, I was thinking about everybody in my immediate circle, in my immediate work circle, thought I was crazy. You know, everybody around me kept telling me to get the shot. They're calling me selfish. They're calling me stupid. They're calling me all these things, right? But I saw what I saw. And what I saw was patients, midshipmen, get this vaccine and get injured, right? So not only did I have in my mind the principle, the thing that there's no need to vaccinate for this, but now I'm seeing like actual people get hurt from this thing. I had patients with prolonged menstrual cycles. There's some patients that still have menstrual cycles, continuous menstrual cycles, that it's continuously bleeding to this day. I've had patients come in with crushing chest pain right after the vaccine, tons of myocarditis diagnosis, tons. And this was the initial Moderna vaccines that came out, the 90 microgram ones. So they were fresh from the factory. They were refrigerated properly. They did everything possible to make sure that, you know, all the requirements were kept for this vaccine. I had people getting, I had a guy have a cardiac episode right in front of me. That's when like things really changed for me. You know, there's a chapel on base, right? On the Naval Academy, a very famous chapel. It has a dome on it. And if Top Lops is listening, there's an obelisk on top of it. And we can get into that a little bit later. All right.
What is that supposed to mean? Why is there an obelisk? Sorry, go on.
Well, you know, I started going down that road, man. Because...
Oh, I'm just fucking with you. I get it. The symbols. I don't know. I'm assuming maybe Freemasonry. You're probably going to go even more esoteric than that.
More of like, yeah, well, you know, but what do they believe? They believe in like, as Bill Cooper would say, you know, the ancient mystery schools. Okay. And the obelisk or the penis, as he would say, it's just the, you know, the generative force of the universe. And it's like the, you know, the ancient religions, you know, that predated even the Abrahamic religions. Right. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that might be for another talk.
Yeah.
But I found Jesus at that moment because we're sitting in the BMU, we're sitting in the clinic, and we get this call that a midshipman has gone down in front of the chapel, and EMS, there was an EMS on base, but they were dispatched somewhere else. So me, I grab a junior corpsman, and then there's a junior doc who just, you know, checked in, and maybe another corpsman. We grab our bags and we run the 400 or 600 yards, wherever it is. And we find this guy on the floor, right? Convulsing, right? We have an AED in hand because, you know, just in case it was a cardiac episode, sure shit it was. We slapped the pads on him. It's not a shockable rhythm. This guy's like, you know, he's got like a heart rate going to like 210, 220, like SVT, right? And he's all of a sudden he starts moaning and wailing. And then the minute he does that, the chapel bells start ringing. And I'm like, this is so fucking evil. This is so fucking evil. And this kid had a cardiac episode after the first vaccine, and they made him get the second vaccine. And I'm sure to this day, he's got cardiac issues. I haven't touched base with him, but there is a clip of Dr. Peter McCullough going around. He's at some sort of congressional hearing. He's talking about mass formation psychosis, and he brings up this patient specifically. And I'll send you the link, you know, if you want to check it out yourself. But I mean, when I saw that, I was like, I can't have anything to do with this shit anymore. So from that point on, I'm like telling, I was always suspicious of it. I was always the doc you'd come to, and I was never wearing a mask. And I'm like, read the label, right? You know, it doesn't say FDA approved on any of the vials. Find Comirnaty. It doesn't exist in the States, right? Because that was the problem. They, like the EUA drug, right? You can't legally make somebody take it because it's technically experimental, and there's a law against that. And they were saying, no, we have the approved drug. There was all that big hubbub, like, it's finally approved. Well,
emergency approval, yeah.
They never, but no, they had an approval for what was called Comirnaty, the Pfizer vaccine. Never Moderna in my time when I was there. Yeah. So, but they never had the actual vaccine, the physical vaccine that said Comirnaty. They had the Pfizer Intech BNG, whatever the acronym was. You know, I honestly haven't visited this information in so long because once I got out of the Navy, I was just like, okay, I'm in this new career. I'm like, I'm a project assistant for a construction company, a completely different field. Thank God I was with the Seabees for however long I was, but I was, you know, a corpsman at the time. And like, I'm just trying to like get on with my life essentially. Right. But anyway, back to the Comirnaty. So there's no Comirnaty available at the time. So, and they're making people take this drug that says it's an EUA product, which is illegal. And that was one of my major points in my memorandum to the commanding officer and my congressional complaint I filed after my separation board to Congressman Lee Zeldin, who was working, I mean, who was running for governor of New York at the time. And fuck that guy. He didn't do anything with it. And if he's watching this, fuck you, Lee Zeldin. Okay. And
I could have told you that with New York, but
yeah.
Yeah. You know?
But I heard his parents are Democrats anyway. But back to what I was saying is so all these kids are getting injured. And, you know, like people are coming in months after the vaccine. I can't breathe right. I can't walk up the steps. And, you know, I got this crushing chest pain. And I'm like, sure, you know, it's probably like myocarditis, right? And all these doctors are trying to find every other excuse and finding all these like other reasons and different differential diagnoses other than an adverse vaccine reaction. And once the DMED story came out that I told you about, I'm like, okay, the DOD is now not only they're not practicing medicine properly, right? They're just complicit in the injury of their own. And I was, everything Ron Paul has ever told me just came rushing back, you know, like, and then like all the things I wasn't sure about like the military, I wasn't sure about like, you know, of how our country was running and the entitlement systems. And, you know, I always believed that like liberty was the way, but, you know, maybe we can get by with still being this like imperial army, you know, this imperial force all over the globe, this empire, you know, like maybe like that's still okay. And when I saw the machine like eating itself, I was like, I was just fully convinced that like, yeah Ron Paul's right. I gotta be out of here. So I'm sitting in my trailer. I'm going stir crazy because like it's still at the height of the pandemic where everyone's getting the vaccine and they, you know, they still like trust the science, this, that, and the other thing. And I'm trying to find something to do. Honestly, school was wrapping up and I wasn't sure if I was even going to get a degree because they were going to kick me out any day now. That was that. Next week you're getting out. Next week you're getting out. 52 weeks later, I'm still not out. Next week you're getting out. Next week you're getting out. So I was like, okay, I couldn't prevent all 4,500 of these kids from getting the vaccine. I got this information now. I know what I saw. I started thinking like, all right, what can I do? Right. So Ron Paul, I keep bringing him up, but Ron Paul, you know, he once said that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but if you're in like a political race and you have not a great chance of winning, just use it to spread a message. So I was like, that's a fucking fantastic idea. So my home of record was Riverhead, New York. And there was an opening on the school board. And I was going to run as a libertarian. And the beautiful thing about that is that, you know, it's not bipartisan, but not anti-partisan. It doesn't matter what party you're in.
Yeah, once you get that small level, it's usually not a big deal, like what your party is.
Right, so I was a libertarian on the ballot, right? Yeah. I got on the ballot, easy. I needed like 70 signatures or something. It was great. And I used that whole campaign to just educate and bring awareness to parents about this vaccine and not to give it to their kid and to stop all this COVID crap and to stop the masking and all the psychological crap they're doing. And, you know, I lost, you know, it was in New York. I didn't lose by much though. I lost the, I got like 20% of the vote, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. But, 20 or 30% of the vote, but,
I mean, spreading a message that probably wasn't very well received at that moment in time. So,
you know, there's a lot of people that reached out to me.
I feel like they were probably at that point in time where it wasn't like negatively being received, but it was almost one of those ones like, I don't know if I really want to buy this because the implication, like, it's just like they're at that moment where they're almost ready, you know? So like they're not like going to actively, you know, freak out, but it's maybe, I mean, your bill tell me better, but it's probably like, yeah.
I may have actually gotten on the board if I, the press is smart. They're like, what are you going to do about the budget? And I'm like, all right, like I was like going like full anarcho-capitalist on it, which I'm not, by the way, but I was really, you know, I was really reading all the literature at that point, yeah. Because I was pretty angry. I was like, yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Anatomy of the State.
Want me to give
fuck
you
yeah.
fucking money?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys are torturing children? Absolutely not. You're not getting a cent. And I was like, I'm going to dissolve the school systems. This is what I'm going to do. You guys are going to be learning from computers until I knock the buildings down. And I was
YouTube is literally better.
Seriously. I just got done reading Ron Paul's book about the education system. I can't remember the title of it, but essentially the premise is that education we have now is so damn expensive and there's no need to be. I mean, there's no need to have this like Socratic method where everybody or this like scholastic mindset where this Oxford style education, as Paul put it, where everybody's like sitting in this lecture hall, because that's not like the best way that everybody learns. And it's not the most efficient way that everybody learns, because PDFs are a lot cheaper than books. Okay, and I can learn anything from a video.
Yeah, I honestly think I'm probably more intelligent than most college graduates, and like, or at least more well-read, more learned in like certain ways. I mean, I don't know, maybe there's certain arguments you can make that they're better, some of them are better, more educated. But in the majority of my shit's just been like weird rabbit holes. I just go, oh, I wonder about this thing. And then I go look at Wikipedia thing. And then I'm like, oh, well, oh, that's weird. And then I go read an article. And then I go listen to a podcast. And then I go, and then like next thing you know, I'm reading a book or whatever. And like that's how I've learned shit. And I feel like that's how, in this day and age, there's no reason you can't. Like you can use whatever path it takes for you to get there. You don't have to go to college. And if anything, college is typically not as good of information from my experience and the people that I've met that have like finished. So, I mean, I don't know, you did some school, so maybe you disagree, but I know.
No,
I
completely
a bit of,
agree. Yeah. I was like full on in like the vaccine indoctrination at my alma mater before the pandemic hit. And it started to make sense. Like there's a lot of anomalies about COVID that people are probably waking up to. Like at the academy, all the midshipmen, every last one of them got EKGs. Never happened before, but before the vaccine rolled out, they all got EKGs. I wonder why. A lot of them volunteered to wear like these biomedical devices, right? Like lots of strange shit was happening. In New York, they got rid of religious exemptions for vaccines. Cuomo did before the pandemic ever happened. So they knew this shit was coming. And it is my personal belief that we are in a new world order of things. Like we really are. And this vaccine was an attack on legacy Americans and the armed forces to poison them. And I think what they're doing right now is they're bringing in a new class of people from the third world that are easier to control. And they're going to weed us out, whether it's medically or financially or, you know, what have you. But here in New York, it's still on the books that Hochul could stand up a quarantine camp. And if you're deemed a public health threat, well, she can grab you and she can put you in there and it's all legal. It's all legal.
The crazy thing is, too, with the military side of things, the way this works, and I'm sure, I mean, you may or may not have gone through this process. I didn't. A lot of people don't realize that, like, when pretty much just about anybody who gets out of the military usually, the majority of people I know, whether they did one enlistment or multiple or retired, they usually go and get some sort of VA, you know, sort of disability, something, whether it's from, I don't know, chemical, like people work that system is the way to put it, you know, from my experience. A lot of people oh, well, I work in aircraft, so I'm going to milk as much as I can out of the supposed detriment that it had to my ears or my hearing or whatever. And oh,
you get 10% for tinnitus. I heard that my whole career. You get 10% for tinnitus.
10% for tinnitus. You worked around aircraft engines. Yeah. And it's like, oh, you touch hydro. You talk to hydro fluid. Well, that's a carcinogen that could fuck with your dick, your balls. Like, I don't know. You're at a higher rate of possibly getting cancer or this or that. And you're like, I mean, it gets a little ridiculous. But point being is that this will likely, the only recompense that any military members likely will get will be some sort of hookup on disability. When, and that's only at the point on at which they actually recognize it, because this has been a thing that's happened. This isn't the first time, especially with the military, this sort of shit has happened. Like, there was Gulf War syndrome with all the weird fucking experimental vaccines and other stuff they were giving them at the time. And there was, like, Agent Orange and stuff like that. And usually how it works is it usually takes, I don't know, decades or so before it finally gets recognized of, like, my bad. And then they just go, oh, we'll recompense you in your disability payments. And usually, and, like, let's be real, those guys do get hooked the fuck up. My stepdad was in the military, and he handled nuclear, I don't know his exact job, but he handled nuclear material, and he's kind of an older fella. I think he's like in his early 60s, so it's like, that was at a time where they didn't really have much safety standards for handling the nuclear material, so pretty much everybody in his unit got cancer. He has a dope-ass VA disability hookup. but either way, the point is, this will be what they get hooked up with, maybe, later down the line, and no one will really actually see anything from it. And it's like, yes, I guess there is kind of like cushy, like, okay, cool, you got hooked up. But it's like, okay, but what about in the decade or two in the meantime? And then also, on top of that, like, yeah, you know, you're 50 and like, oh, you have some health issues, but you're like, oh, cool, I'm getting fucking $3,000 from the military once a month. You're like, well, that's kind of cool. And you're like, yeah, but would you really have taken that? Would you have taken that deal if you known that was the case? Because, like, this is just the bum deal that you're, the scraps you're getting thrown at the end of it. So,
plus,
and no one pays for disabled. It. The taxpayer pays for that.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So, yeah.
And if you're going to claim, like, PTSD or any mental issues and you want to have some guns in the future, I mean, you know, you're opening up a can of worms. I you know, but what I definitely wanted to, if I could, can I shout out some folks?
Go for it.
So during the pandemic, during the height of the pandemic, I did feel like I was like the only guy in the room who felt this way. And I did go online and I did try to like seek, you know, people in the military who felt the same way and who were doing some things about it. And let me tell you, there's an account, Terminal CWO, Terminal Chief Warrant Officer. There's a bunch of guys that act as Danny, right? I mean, you know, spilling the beans here, but they put out so much good information. Like, it was critical to what I was doing to trying to fight this from the inside. Like, they put out so many good studies and they really broke down the legality issues with the EUA vaccine. And they're still blowing the whistle on other military corruption related issues today. They're awesome. Disgruntled Docs. On I just follow him on Instagram, but I mean, he's a former corpsman, I believe, former recon guy. You know, I don't know him, you know, very personally, but what I do know about him is that the corpsman community love what he does, and he, not unlike other popular Navy pages and corpsman related pages. He fought that shit, and he saw it from the get go. And he also put out a lot of great information. There's an account, PBF Pogue Boot Fucks. I think that's what it is. I love all the shit he does. He was putting out good information. Dr. Signolfi was putting out good information. And there was a few midshipmen. One in particular, she was a freaking hero. She was the only unvaccinated midshipman to come out of the class at 23. And I'm gonna touch back on a little bit about her story maybe here in a little bit. But essentially, there was a patient who had an illness, a specific illness, and they still wanted this patient to get vaccinated. It was crazy. There was people who were breastfeeding in my command. They wanted to get vaccinated. There's people with heart conditions and pacemakers that want to get vaccinated. There was no zero religious exemptions, zero medical exemptions, right? So they delayed vaccines for some people. I mean, I had a patient with lymphoma, and then I had a study in hand saying that the COVID vaccines increased the likelihood of lymphoma metastasizing even further, right? And they still didn't want to give this person a waiver or delay it. Like they wouldn't delay the vaccine for anything. There was no instance where they were gonna give anybody a waiver to not get this vaccine. And right from there, I was like, this is some sort of internal attack. I don't know how else to see this. And I believe it to this day. I mean, you got Biden in office. I think he's a fucking traitor to this country. I think that, I mean, as bad as Trump was, and maybe he's a plant, and maybe it's the WWF, and maybe he's supposed to come in and rile everybody up, and, you know, we get this nationalism surge and go fight China and die over there. I don't know. I don't know. But life under Trump was better. And I voted for Joe Jorgensen. I know. Right. But, and I don't know who I like Michael Rechtenwall, but he doesn't, like, the Libertarian Party doesn't stand a shot. That's the problem. They really don't stand a shot. They don't stand a chance. And are we going to take on RFK as an LP nominee? I know that's the big hubbub. Angela McArdle, I saw an interview with her today, and
I didn't watch that, so I can't really say too much. But
she said it made sense. She didn't say one way or the other. She said it would be good. It would make sense for the party. It definitely makes sense for the party. Like, we'd get all sorts of funding, and the LP would grow. But I think RFK is a plant too. I'm so suspicious of everybody, man.
I think he's, my read on him, he's genuine, but there's certain lines he can't cross because of reasons. So I get the vibe that this guy is like, does genuinely probably want to do good things, but it's also like, all right, well, there's very clearly something fishy going on if you're anyone with a critical thinking mind and been paying attention to him. So it's like, okay, even if he's the nicest meaning guy in the world, it's like, well, all right, he's probably on video, you know, doing some crazy shit somewhere. And is that really someone you...
Was he on the log?
I don't know if he went to the island. I know he's been on the plane. I don't know if he went to the island specifically.
Shit. He was on the plane.
No, he's literally said he
had... People get blowjobs on planes all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you only need a plane ride. I mean, what do you go to the island for? I mean, I feel like once you go on the plane, you're like, you bust once and you're like, you know what? Like, I'd rather just go back to Malibu and chill out in the penthouse. Like, I don't, why am I doing all this? Just turn the plane around, bud.
I'm increasing my carbon footprint when I could just be at home doing the same thing, you know, but my problem with him is like, he was really good on the vaccine. I read the real Anthony Fauci. I'm like, this is fantastic. Right. And I was like, oh my God, AIDS is fake. I'm like, wow, this guy's great. Right. And then he's like totally against the Ukraine war, but he's coming from it from a very diplomatic way. Right. He's like, I got, you know, people who went over there and, you know, I'm seeing it for what it is. But then he's just like, he wants to bomb the shit out of Gaza. And it's like, oh, you're not really like anti-war, anti-military industrial complex at all. You're just, you know, you're, I don't know. Well, I don't know what you are now, you know? That's what kind of like, pushed me off. And he does talk a lot about like the climate change agenda. And I don't buy that for a second either.
Yeah. So, no, I don't know. I just, the Gaza thing, if, I mean, especially if you know his past and kind of like how he is about war issues and stuff, it just is like, it makes, there's no consistency between his stances on other things and that. And it doesn't come off as just some like, standard someone with cognitive dissonance, because like, this is a smart guy who's thought this stuff through. And so it's like, but either way, I mean, I don't know. I guess though, we're probably at the part of the conversation where I think we're kind of like getting towards, obviously we laid down what happened, and then I think we're kind of getting towards implying what does someone do in this sort of scenario. Because one thing I did notice, and this is something I felt, and there's a lot of forces like this in the world, but it, particularly with things like the military, where they will get your hooks in and have certain things to hold you in place to where they aren't overtly coercive in the sense of like, I'm gonna stab you if you don't do this, but it's more like, as we were pointing out with like, oh, we'll make you pay back this, we'll take back your bonus, oh, you're gonna lose your job, you know, this, that. And you're like, okay, to some extent, it's like, yes, is a thing you agreed to. So it is actually, in a certain sense, ultimately on you. But it is kind of like just weird that these hooks are in. So then people are just kind of like, well, what do we do? Because even if you aren't like someone who's a military member, even if you're just a guy, someone with a normal 9-to-5 job, you probably have still kind of fallen prey to some of these forces I'm kind of implying on. They may not be directly, you know, like pensions or whatever, but it could be something like a mortgage, in the fact that now you're tied to this payment every month, you're laid into this usury or whatever. And I mean, there's other things. There's you know, even just the having the 9-to-5, because we saw a lot of that. Well, who is your 9-to-5 with? Is this with some, like, you know, bigwig corporation that's going to fall in line with whatever federal guidelines come in place? Is this a smaller ma and pop operation, maybe more state level, maybe more local? Obviously, probably the more local you get, probably the more amenable it would be to your values. Like, so I think it gives people like a, I don't think, obviously there's not like a one size fits all solution here, but I do think it's kind of, you know, kind of creating like a balancing act of, you know, some being able to balance your life and get your economic needs met, while also, you know, essentially not allowing yourself to become, what's the word I'm looking for? Held to anything, to a degree that you can't handle, essentially having, what's the word I'm looking for? Cause I don't want to use like coercion, cause I don't think it is technically coercion. If you, someone's saying, hey, I'm going to pay you this much money for this job and you have to do what I say. And they go, well, this is what I say. And you go, no, I'm not going to do it. And they're like, well, now I'm not going
to
pay you.
To an extent, because you swear to uphold the Constitution.
Yes.
And you're under no obligation to follow unlawful orders and mandating you to take an mRNA gene therapy.
No, I agree. I get what you mean there, but yeah.
That makes your body produce a spike protein of a virus. That's not an attenuated dead end vaccine. They changed the definition of vaccine halfway through the pandemic. Webster went and changed it to meet the definition of what we were getting in our arms, right? Mm-hmm. But you have no obligation to follow unlawful orders. And this is some of the things they did to these kids. To these midshipmen at the Naval Academy. 14 January 2002, incentives midshipmen to receive the booster in exchange for liberty. There was no legal obligation to even get the booster. They made them get the two shots, but they weren't allowing kids to leave base and go home unless they got the booster, right? There was one point where the entire brigade was 98% vaccinated, which would be herd immunity, right? Herd immunity is like 70% immune. They still wouldn't let these people leave the base. In April 2022, unvaccinated shipmen are yet again barred from graduation required summer training. So they had to go on these summer cruises. And if they're unvaccinated, they couldn't go, so they couldn't graduate. May 2022, 8 out of 10 midshipmen received denials of religious accommodation appeals, told that the court case injunction is the only thing protecting them from separation. And they'll be separated once the injunction is lifted. There was a famous case that a bunch of Navy SEALs and SWIC guys, they sued Biden, right? And those guys are brave as shit. And God bless you guys. May of 2022, only two unvaccinated shipmen make it to graduation. They are not allowed to commission, all right? 2022, this is Novax. What else here? Oh, I'm going to reshare this on Native Shave Co. Twitter. Jordan, I'm going to butcher his name, but he was great during the pandemic. Jordan Sachtel, S-C-H-A-C-H-T-E-L. He retweeted a video that I sent up to one of my buddies, one of my meme page buddies, and he made it go viral. And this midshipman got up there. They're having a discussion about leadership, right? In this giant auditorium full of all 4,500 of them. Midshipman at the Naval Academy reveals he is one of 9 cadets who is not vaccinated. And he talks about how he is demonstrating living honorably. That was the whole theme of the discussion. And the officer immediately panics, cuts him off. And after that went viral, right? A bunch of progress happened, right? They allowed people who were barred from certain events and running for like class office and all that to like come back in, because you know what people really don't like? They don't like being ridiculed. And if you're in your own little bubble full of leadership, a bunch of careerist cocksuckers who are just yes men, and like all the ideas sound good, right? There was no pushback of any COVID policy in the military at all. Nope. So you had to shame them. You had to shame them. And the internet did a great job of that. And that's why I'm scared they're going to cut it off next time, honestly. Mm-hmm. But so bravo. Bravo Zulu to that midshipman. You're brave. And I'm going to repost it. And, you know, I just what I want to get across to people here, especially if you're still in the Navy, especially if you're in the military, is that you are the last line of defense for this country. And if you are senior leadership, you need to right your wrongs. You need to admit what happened was wrong. And you need, there needs to be some sort of accountability, especially medical providers who didn't provide informed consent that this vaccine was EUA. You guys got to do something, because nobody trusts you. Retention is at an all-time low. They're going to start recruiting people from the third world who just came here on Biden Express. Okay. And we're going to be Rome. It's going to be awful. All right. So if you want to save your military, you got to do it from the inside. I did all that I could. I tried to demonstrate that, you know, this mask was bullshit. I presented literally over 1,000 studies about the coronavirus vaccine and how detrimental it was, and how undetrimental, or how the coronavirus itself wasn't as much of a problem as the media made it out to be. And I did everything I could. I sent to Congress. The only thing I didn't do was sue Biden. The SEALs did that. I'm not a SEAL, okay? Bravo Zulu to the SEALs, okay? But what I'm saying to anyone who's listening who's in the military is that you, especially at the NCO level, you guys have to push back next time. You guys have to push back. That's the only way. That's the only way things are going to change. And I miss you guys a lot. I want you guys to remember to hydrate, take your Motrin and change your socks. And, you know, if shit hits the homeland, you can guarantee I still got my med bag here and I'll join up. Okay. But, you know, that's really all I got to say about the COVID stuff for the most part.
It's a lot, but
I know it's a lot.
Yeah, on the military thing, though, I mean, both me and you got out around that time. And I think, you know, I get it. If you're going to stay, whatever, that's your decision to make. You know, but I would say, you know, as you laid out with things may go, I think the smart thing is to start making moves to set yourself up. And I get it. You know, I'm speaking to, you know, old me, essentially, or other people still in, you know, which is, I guess, a reflection of old me. It's like, I get it. It's daunting. You're probably making pretty decent money compared to what you could on the outside. It's fairly easy. Let's be real. Most of the military is not that fucking hard, depending on what your job is. It's kind of a giant socialist jobs program. I mean, it really is. I mean, don't get me wrong. There is. That's why I joked earlier, like people say I have non-ers or this or that. Like, we have jokes in different branches of things we call people who have stupid fucking jobs in the military. Like, and then the people who have real jobs, you know, even then it's like, I would put in quotes real jobs, because it's like in any sort of actual, you know, capitalist, like in this, the way that like an anarcho-capitalist means it type society wouldn't exist, the majority of these. But some of them probably would still stick around. I forgot my point. I totally lost my train of thought.
It's a lot of the positions in the military are a glorified welfare. You know, yeah. Especially there's chicks who get real smart, right? And I point to chicks.
Oh my God, chicks play like crazy.
Oh,
especially like 5+ years ago.
They get pregnant.
Do you remember? Were you? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just conflating this amongst all. I feel like there was a period of time, probably between 5 and 9 years ago. I'm really bad with time. Where there was this big push where they were really trying to push back on like the military culture of dudes rock type shit. And they were really being like, oh, the girls don't feel nice that you guys are like slapping each other in the dicks and laughing and stuff or whatever.
What's happening now?
Were so many women who played that up. And I know it sounds awful to say. I could tell you so many. Obviously, I can't say Obviously, I can't say 100% of facts. I didn't look at every little piece of evidence. But I can tell you, I know so many people in my time that got accused by like jilted ex-girlfriends or some bullshit or some other situation where it's like, I mean, maybe that was the case. I mean, I've also dealt with the opposite where I've actually had troops who were like raped or something and I had to be the NCO that dealt with it. And I actually genuinely did believe them. But I've also had plenty of the opposite, and I feel bad for those girls that were my troops that I had to deal with that with because of the women that would game the system and, you know, use it to get back at people and, you know, either straight up make bold, like overt accusations or implications against people that had wronged them in some way or form, and essentially using that in a way to advance themselves. And it was gross the way that worked in the military on both sides. Cause you know, say like specifically in like sexual assault allegations, it's like, cause I've seen where ones where it's clearly, someone got fucked over by someone that was upset with them, whether it be an ex-girlfriend or an ex-wife or whatever. And I've also seen it had the opposite where I've had troops that I was the one helping them deal with this like traumatic thing that happened to them. And they know that they're going to have the specter hanging over their head of that. It's a known pattern in the military that you have bitches who make up this shit. So you
know, it's a male heavy field. And, yeah. That's becoming less and less with the, you know, a bunch of men going the other way, which is crazy stories about that. Right. They're transitioning and they're demanding during your analysis that they have, you know, if they were a female and now they're a male, they want a male watching them. And if they're a male and they're a female, they want a female watching them pee for your analysis. And they're making people call them ma'am and sir. And honestly, it's just demoralizing because you have like this dude in a dress who's like making you call him ma'am. And, but, you know, there was one time back to the rape stories, you know, it is a male dominant force, and there's a lot of good females in the military. There's a ton of good females in the military, but they got to be even better because, you know, they have to really shine because they're the minority, right? So they got to really be on their A game. There was this one time in Italy, I was a junior sailor, and this girl accused these two guys of raping her, and it was a huge deal, and she was adamant about it. And, you know, everybody took it very seriously until the two guys produced a videotape, and it definitely was not rape, you know, and there's a bunch of things like that. Or like there's chicks that get in and they get in for 6 months and then they get pregnant and then they skip deployment. And before you know it, the contract's up and they were able to like, you know, get a nice stay in a hospital and get all this payment. And then, you know, they
and
get
they VA probably were able to somehow, the yep, they were able to tie their disability into their pregnancy because somehow it's the military's fault that someone came in them, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, we all get fucked by the military one way or the other.
I guess that's true. But the kind of the point I was bringing this to with talking about, I guess, the lower level individuals is kind of like what you need to be doing. And I think that kind of goes into like what you've done with your razor company. And I've done it in other things, like even this podcast thing. I don't make a ton of money off this podcast, but thanks to like sponsors like you and then my patrons, I am starting to, you know, get more and more, and like it helps support me and it allows me to a lot more energy into this, which is something that I have almost complete control over, obviously, to some extent. Obviously, there's the platform side of it, what platform I'm putting out on, but for the most part, I control this. Like, this is my thing. If some vaccine mandate comes down, I have this income stream that is mine. Like, yes, I guess technically Patreon could shut down, but I could go to another payment processor, which I actually need to do for people out there. I know everyone keeps saying go to other payment processors. I'll probably get other ones soon sometime. I need to do that. But either way, point being is like, you know, it's the idea of moving towards the spectrum. And like I said, it was a balancing act before because I get it. And I'm not even advocating every single one of you immediately, you know, put in discharge paperwork or whatever the fuck you need to do to get out right now. Because I know not every one of you very well may put yourself, your life in ruin if you do that, to be honest. I know there are a lot of like hardcore anarchists, you know, principled people that would be like, well, you should just leave because you're committing aggression. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, in principle, you're right. But like at the same time, there are ways that you can prepare yourself, start building other income streams, and that way you can make it a transition as opposed to a sudden thing. And, you know, next thing you know, you're bankrupt, your wife's left you, like whatever.
Trust me, I know it well, man. And so, I really empathize with the Rothbardians and the Hoppians and all that anarcho-capitalist good stuff. And it's great, right? It really gets to the heart of the matter of, like, you know, human action and all the Mises stuff, which is how I decided to actually run for school board. Is there was only one political entity speaking my language, and it was the Mises Caucus. Shout out to the Mises Caucus for helping me out for my political run a few years back. And, I'm glad you took over the LP, and hopefully, you know, you guys get what you want. But wait, what was my point with that?
I don't know. I was kind of moving the conversation towards kind of like what you've done particularly.
Oh, being independent.
Yes,
oh,
yeah, kind of being more independent, building up different revenue streams.
My issue with anarcho-capitalism, I wanted to get this out, is that you'd have to dissolve our standing army. And if you really want to pull that Band-Aid off now, just be prepared for hell on earth.
Oh, I do. I'll be honest with you. That's a separate conversation. I think I could talk you into it, but I would suggest for those who do want to look into it, I think Friedman wrote a good piece on it. For someone who wants to read a piece that would kind of encapsulate sort of my ideas on that topic. David Friedman, he wrote a piece, and I forget that one, but it's the one that's in Malice's Anarchist Handbook one. So go check that out for those who want to read that. Because I do think, you know, especially like if you start thinking about why you joined and like the people that exist in this country and blah, 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 and like the nature of warfare. I think once you start, and especially the fact that like our geographical position adds an extra component to the argument as well. The idea that the world would fall apart or something if we no longer had the US military. I actually kind of disagree. I think people would very much be willing to protect their areas. And now you have a decentralized fighting force of basically Appalachian type motherfuckers. And I don't think that's going to work well for, say, somewhere like China, because now they also have to deal with crossing an ocean and somehow a fighting force. And so we become essentially Afghanistan times a bajillion.
Well, I would definitely be interested in reading that piece. I own that book. I'll revisit that that essay. But I consider myself like a Ron Paul constitutionalist minarchist, because I think like nation states right now are vital. Because there's a lot of countries out there who aren't going to play that game. Like if they, in my eyes, if they saw, you know, this like this land of agorists and anarchists, they'd just be ripe for the taking for them, especially given our aggression since the fall of the Cold War. So I think like now is not the time to do it, at least. You know, in theory, I think it sounds beautiful. I really do. I just think right now we've got a lot of enemies and a lot of them are internal, which might, you know, my largest concern at like during the height of COVID that the United States military was going to be used against its own people. And
I was, you know, schizo about that for a little bit.
Super schizo about that. So which is why, like you were mentioned before, touching back on it, being independent is really my goal. And when I was sitting in my RV and the school board race was over and my degree was done, and I was just bored out of my mind because I was functioning at such a high level of work. Like I was working like 12, 13 hours a day and then it was nothing. And my family's gone in New York and I'm just bored. I was like, all right, let me stand on these libertarian, you know, capitalist ideals and let's get independent. So I took what little money I had and I started an e-commerce business. And I needed to do something I knew a lot about. I needed to sell something I knew a lot about. And when I was a corpsman in the Navy, I'd have guys come up to me all the time in sick call, you know, reporting a sick call, shaving issues, because we had to shave every day in the military. You're aware of that.
Yeah, I had to get shaving a lot near the end because it fucked my face up too much.
Exactly. And it's those multi-blade cartridge razors. It's a PSYOP, okay? You get them in boot camp. You get the Gillettes. It's a fucking PSYOP because they cut below the initial layer of the skin, all right? And it literally cuts a layer of your skin off. And for dudes with curly hair, especially, that hair can't pop out. You get all sorts of ingrown hairs and bumps. black dudes would get pseudofolliculitis barbae and they would try and shave the bumps and they get all these keloids and it looked like hell. And even me, I would get bumps and outbreaks everywhere until I tried.
Dermatitis is what they called it, what I had. And what essentially would like every now and then when I'd shave, I would get like a spot and then it would almost be like a little, almost kind of like an ingrown hair, like an infection. But it's like I'm fucking up my skin over and over again. So it's not that crazy that I would, I'm damaging the skin that an infection every now and then or whatever it was that was causing the irritation would set in. So yeah, exactly. It is a retarded thing that we have developed. And even honestly, even with a single blade, even the idea of shaving every day, this mentality that's been put in. Like, yeah, sure, if you like your face clean shaven, looking nice, but the idea that you need to shave every day, obviously that's a little bit against you want people to shave every fucking day.
That's right. Yeah. You should be shaving every day. No, well, the argument they always made was you gotta get a seal in your gas mask, yeah, right? You need to have a shaved face. And some of the solutions they had in the Navy protocol was like, all right, use this cream. It's fucking Nair your face. It's like, yeah, oh, that's caustic. Yeah.
Thanks. And they're like, shaving that cream doesn't revolutionary. Work. Or Nair.
That doesn't work. They said, get laser treatment and then you'll never grow a beard again. It's like, okay, but I'm not going to do this forever, right?
Oh my God, don't they have to do it individually for the hair? I feel like that would be one of the worst places to do hair removal is your face.
Oh God. I never gave a consult for that ever.
That would be insanity. Because that's like usually for areas that aren't very hairy already, and there's maybe just a little sparse hairs, maybe like a thigh or something for women. But like your face, like even just here, this is just like a few days, and it's like, look at all the little hairs, like, and they're all coarse. That's not going to be easily burnt off one by one. So.
It was part of the Navy protocol for years, you know, because you had to be shaving. You had to be within standards. So people who are desperate to stay shaving, especially for the Marine Corps, they don't give out shaving waivers like they do in the Navy. All right. There's tons of dudes walking around with full beards all the time because they got like a permanent no shave chit. But in the Marine Corps, it's hard as fuck to get. So I'd recommend to my guys the traditional safety razor. Nadu Shave Co.'s traditional safety razor. All right. Break free from the big shave side. You don't need all those multi-blade cartridge razors. You only need one. All right. So it's made. So when I was sitting in my RV, I sourced some manufacturers and I got with a bunch of good people who know how to market. And I'm coming out with some more products here this April, which you probably, I'm going to send you some samples. But this electroplated blast safety razor is all you need, man. That's all you need. No plastic at all. One blade. And I designed it to be twist to open. The butterfly opening mechanism. So easy. So easy to use. All you got to do is just take one of these blades. Now, one of these blades, man, there's 100 blades in this box. I know people who shave with the same blade 3, 4, 5, 6 times.
Right? I do. So technically, I'll be honest. I'm really bad. Like, I'm the guy with my contacts that I'll wear the same pair for like damn near like half a year.
It's fine with these, man. It's user preference. So yeah,
you'll get to the point where you notice it's a little blunt and you're like, or it's dirty because you're it's getting worked in there. Like, whatever, swap out a new one. And it really is super handy using those. I do use those fairly regularly. I only like shave once a month, but I'll like edge it up throughout. It's good for that as well. But it is very simple design and like those things last for forever. Like, I've still had the same pack you sent me when you started sponsoring Tower Gang. I don't fucking know how long ago.
It's the subscription killer, right? Especially if you don't shave a lot. Now, for my military folks and people who do shave daily, I got Quarter Shave Club, where every quarter I send you a box of these. And you can shave with a fresh blade every day for a quarter, right? But you just take the double-edged razor blade. It's got two edges, right? So you got double the shaves, man. You just drop it in here, twist to close, get to work. I'm coming out with a shave soap in April made with French green clay, made in America. It's fucking fantastic. It's going to make your face smell so nice. It's actually unscented, right? But it's got like this like French green clay smell to it. You're going to love it. You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it. And, I set up this little business and it's doing pretty good. Thanks to, podcasters like you. I'm exclusively advertising on podcasts and meme pages. I'm like, I'm in the Liberty milieu because I don't want to advertise what people who are down with, like, you know, the DEI corporate New World Order bullshit that we've been subjected to. I don't even want to sell to those people. I don't care. I know I got to make money somehow. I might have to change my business model, but I'm really in it to be independent and to connect with people, like-minded people who want to be independent as well. And that's my only goal. And, you know, if you like what you hear about the product, visit nadoshaveco.com. Use code Jose. Actually, scratch that. Use code No Way. The code No Way. You receive 10% off. And, you know, there's been a lot of love for this company, too. This painting right here. As a guy, he's a libertarian. I'm pretty sure he's like a libertarian, but he's a liberty-minded artist. Goes by the name of Sal's Famous. And he reached out to me and painted this beautiful piece for me. He calls it the Razor King. I fucking love it. This isn't even my house.
The same guy who made one for Clint and me, I think. That might be. I'd have to look up because I can't remember his name specifically. I feel like a piece of shit because I still haven't hung it up. I just mean to, but I've like I have multiple things already that I've been meaning to hang up in this room for a while, just haven't got around to.
And you gotta fucking hang it up, man.
I know I gotta hang it up. I gotta hang it up. I'm going to. It's pretty dope. It's like a January 6th meta, like Deadpool joke thing. It's pretty sick. Let me see if it's around here.
Hell yeah. Well, Sal, thank you so much. If you're listening, I'm gonna send you the link to this this podcast. But I mean, it's so awesome. Freedom, yeah. Liberty, and the Fed. 1770, the Razor King, baby. You know.
Yeah. Here's I don't. Maybe no. Actually, I think mine's a different guy. Because I'm seeing the signature now, and I'm remembering the name. I think it was like Will, some Illy or something. I feel like such a piece of shit, but I'm awful with names. I'd know
shout
if I saw.
Shout out
his face.
To Will Illy, man. That's
Will
awesome.
Illy. That's
shout
probably his right name. That's famous. That's just the name association I have going in my head. He's probably going to see this and be like, this motherfucker.
My name isn't Willie. It's fucking Frank.
I really, really appreciate the painting. I just want to be, I want to put that out. I fully intend on hanging it and hanging it within view on the camera. I just haven't got around to it. I've got a lot going on in my life. I know this will probably take 10 minutes, but there's always something else going on. So,
bro, this isn't even my house. I brought it to this house to record here because my house is too noisy, and I hung it up just because like oh man, I see guys on shows and they got their like backdrop and they got all their cool shit in the back. I gotta have something. And shout out to Sal's Famous, man. Thanks a lot, dude.
Yeah, it's dope. Yeah, but I don't know, I feel like this has been a fun episode. We covered a lot. I actually thought it was gonna be a lot shorter, but we went really into like COVID and stuff. It was dope. This is fun.
This is a Top Lobster special edition merch.
Hell
go
yeah.
To toplobster.com and check out all his cool merch. He made some Nadu Shave Co. stuff. Thank you, buddy.
But I do think there is something to that, the idea, and that is kind of like, that's a lot of the old stuff I used to talk about my channel. I used to talk about agorism a lot. I've gotten a lot more into parapolitics, but it's a lot of the old stuff I used to talk about, and I still believe in that stuff, and the idea of that, like, you need to set yourself up, and I do think it's, like, on a spectrum, but, like, I'm not, like, so to the military member out there, I'm not saying quit your job right now and go start a business. Like, no, it's, I'm sorry, you're gonna have to take some time from your day, figure something out, whether it's start a business, some sort of other income stream, other things. Start setting yourself up to be able to back off from other things, and that way it makes the transition easy, you know, from one thing to the other. Or if you're just a guy in a 9-to-5 working for some globo homo corpo company, you still can do the same thing. With your afternoon, start doing something. Or whatever, start thinking about things to do. There's so much, it's so vague of advice to give. I get it. And I know everyone's like, oh, I don't have the time. But it's like, you do. Like, you just start doing something. If it's an hour here, they're like, I, for example, like a lot of my shows built off of like stuff I learn or whatever, like, you know, parapolitics. And like, while I'm working like a blue collar manual labor job, I have earbuds in listening to an audiobook. Like, and so I'm like learning. I'm like, and like, even for physical reading, I don't get a lot of time to do that, but I will find a half hour here, then read just a couple pages. But that adds up. It's the little things that add up. And I do think the idea is people should strive. That should be the American goal. I don't think the American goal should be to have a 9-to-5 and get a nice retirement and, you know, have a semi-decent home. No, it's to be your own business owner and to be able to leave something to your family, you know, like whether it's property, a business, like fuck, who gives gives a shit about giving your kid a fucking college fund. You should be worried about building a business so that you have a business to pass on to them, or you can buy property so you have property to pass, or whatever. Like, people need to start, like, shifting their paradigm and how they're thinking. And I do think being in a situation where you're beholden to any massive entity that you know doesn't align with your values anyways, like, it's probably not going to work out well in the long run, and you should probably maybe start making some changes. That's all I'm saying. So, I mean, yeah, if you want to stick around, that's on you, you know, with whatever your place is, that's on you. But you just know that this may have long-term negative side effects for you. So, and maybe even short-term, as we saw in 2020, where shit got real wild.
Ain't so, that the truth, man? Ain't that the truth? You know, the 9-to-5 is really what the that's what they're hoping for, right? That's what the public schools are cranking out.
Yeah,
you know, they're cranking out people who could work the 9-to-5. They're cranking out a nation of workers, and you know, for their industrial cause. And I think I pray that we can abolish the public school systems. Maybe that's why I wasn't a very popular candidate, because I was you know, seriously, I was saying, like, I want to cut your hours, right? I want the kids to go to a work study and go get a job. You guys should be employed by your 14. Like, this is ridiculous. You're like, you're wasting the most energy filled years of your life, 17, 18, sitting in study hall and jerking off and playing grab ass when you could just really be finding a niche and specializing. It's not good for our kids. It's really,
no, I agree. Well, all right. Let people know where they can find you. We'll get out of here. I do want to, as we go out, I want to play. I thought maybe it might work in the conversation today, but I'll just play it as like an outro, because I really did want you guys to check it out. And I think probably around the time this drops, I'm not quite sure when this episode will drop, it'll probably already be out. I already have, you know, there'll probably already be two of these out. I'm doing my new weekly show. I have Xavier G from one of the co-hosts of Tinfoil Hat that's going to be on next week. The following week, I have on Radix Verum, who's done a lot of great stuff with the Michigan kidnapping stuff, and she had like a fucking killer rant on a video she did, and you guys will see why in a second. But I just want to play that, especially since this episode will probably be dropping around the time that episode comes out. So if you're watching this and you see, oh geez, yeah, it has already come out, you go check it out. If it hasn't, you can just be, it'll be about that time we'll be doing that live stream or something along those lines. So then pay attention for, what is it? I'll give you the date right now. The 19th at 9:30 PM. So I don't know when this will get released, but you know, check your calendar, which is what today's date is that you're watching this. But that's what we'll play. But I'd let people know where they can find you. I am looking forward to, you know, kind of our future together to see where this goes. I'm sure we'll work together. I mean, either way, you know, like, you're already, to some extent, we already are. You're a sponsor on Tower Gang. So, and I do really find it cool that, and I think it is the better long-term thing. Like, I know you're talking about, like, you know, other larger companies. I think it's shows like this that in the long term are going to really shine. But let people know where they can find you at, and then I'll play this video on the way out for everybody.
Yeah, man, I love how you guys advertise for the company on those shows. I'm a free speech absolutist, so really anything goes. You guys can find me at nadeaushaveco.com, N-A-D-E-A-U, shaveco.com. You can find me on Instagram at Andrew G. Nadeau. Also at Nadeau Shave Co. Find me on Twitter or X at Nadeau Shave Co. You can email me. You could snail mail me. We could meet in a coffee shop. We could do whatever you want. But I really appreciate you having me on, Jose. And looking forward to working with you in the future, man.
Yeah, for sure. Man, stick around if you want to talk after, but I'm going to play this edit for everybody. Everyone, make sure to like, share, subscribe. You can follow me on Twitter at Tower Gang Jose. And with that, we are out here. Stick around for the...
Some of the things they say here blow my mind. They claim that, right-wing politicians and right-wing news have tried to use the case to prove that the Justice Department has been quote-unquote weaponized against conservatives. They say despite a decades-long public record proving the opposite, that's not true at all. Not only do we know that there's lots of evidence of this, I would ask Trevor Aronson, have you never heard of Ruby Ridge, Waco, Oklahoma City? Have you never heard of Schaefer Cox? Were you not aware of what happened at Bundy Ranch? Have you ever heard of the base? Did you ask why there's an intelligence operative that created it? How about the 09A and Joshua Caleb Sutter, longtime FBI informant? How about the FBI being a silent partner in a satanic, you know what kind of group, Martinet Press, publishing horrific things? How about the fact that the Proud Boys was littered with informants? How about the fact that the vice president of the Oath Keepers was a longtime FBI informant set to testify that suffered a heart attack the day before he was set to testify at Stuart Rhodes' trial? How about that? You never heard of that, Trevor Aronson, Eric Von Dusen? You never heard about Lois Lerner's IRS targeting the Tea Party? You never heard of Spygate? You never heard of the FBI putting symbols on a list like the Gadsden flag, a cartoon frog, the Betsy Ross flag? You didn't hear about that? You didn't hear about the FBI spying on parents at school board meetings? You didn't hear about the FBI targeting Roman Catholics for attending Latin mass? None of that exists, huh? We're just going to claim it's all made up. Okay, please. This is my issue with you guys, and I'm telling you this as a colleague. I am giving you constructive criticism so you can look at your own implicit biases and start asking yourselves these questions, unless you just know what your job is, which is to act as some type of containment valve for the intelligence community when they want to pretend that they're exposing themselves.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.